Good. We're rolling. All right. We're back in. And we will move on to discussion and consideration of human resource generalist, Alyssa Wignall. Alyssa, I think this conversation needs to start with, when did you first come to any of the board and start talking about the needs of human resources and the reality that we were short-staffed in human resources? As I recall, it was easily 2013 the first time you and I had this conversation. I don't know if that's true with the other board members, but let's start there and work our way forward.
Yep. I took over the HR director position in April 2011. So at that point, I was not, you know, kind of getting into things, figuring out what hasn't been done, what needs to be done. It probably took me a year or so just to really get a good grasp of where we needed to go. At that point, there were some things that needed to be addressed. I wasn't quite ready to ask for an additional staff within the human resources yet. They typically say, in an organization, you know, for HR staff, it's one per 100 employees. So we have 350 employees. We have two specific positions dedicated to human resources with, an administrative assistant to help us with filing and some other things. So at that point, I've been working on this generalist job description for over a year. Mm-hmm. I wanted to hold off and see where things were going. We implemented a new online application system, which has helped in the workload for my position. I'm not getting all the paper applications and having to have my staff log them and stuff like that. It's created a little bit more, you know, it's not a complete wash of the workload. There are a whole bunch of items that I feel human resources should provide for the county that currently we're not able to do. We need to do more with recruiting efforts, our training programs. We need to get more defined training programs for our employees, for our management staff, and get that on a regular scheduled program and able to do that, training ourselves. We can do that in-house. Performance management, we implemented a new performance management system. It's not going quite as well as I thought it would, so we need to provide some more assistance to the offices or departments that actually utilize that. Special projects. We did outsource the compensation special project in 2011, mm-hmm. 2012. That's something that we need to do every few years. It's not a huge project like it was, but that's something we're gearing towards again. This type of position would allow the director to more focus on the complex issues, the more ADA issues, policy development. Benefits is a huge one that actually has taken quite a bit of time over the last couple weeks. We have to update, or there's new HIPAA requirements that are coming into play. The Affordable Care Act did not only change the way we offer benefits here, it is also increasing the amount of reporting that we need to do for the county. So we're getting in place to do that. That doesn't take place, not due until January of 2016. Different things like that. Are there other questions?
No, I'll make a statement first. It's not a question. I know one of the things you do as chair is you sign all our department head timesheets, and I tend to track them. I mean, maybe that'll come as a surprise to our department head, but I pay attention to who's using what, how much they're working, because I like to know. I like to have a feel for that. And I will say this, and Paul, you did it for the last year. I don't know if you tracked on it quite as closely as I do. We've got great department heads, not intended as a critique of anybody, but Alyssa Wignall works more hours than she should, and she doesn't claim all the hours she works on her timesheet. And what I notice, and this is not a critique of you, Alyssa, because I know how hard you're working, but we're only getting done the things we have to get done on a day-to-day basis. There is no time at all available to do the things we want to do, like keeping up with our compensation schedule, like really digging into this performance-based mechanism where we can actually offer merit raises to our employees more than just a cost of living raise. We don't have a mechanism to do that right now. Those kind of things that we would love to do as a county, that are appropriate for us to do as a county, we can't get to right now because we don't have adequate staffing to be able to get to it. I think the first thing she said was the industry standard is one human resource professional for every 100 employees. Well, then we should have three human resource professionals, and we've got one. We've got another one who is out right now, but she is outstanding when she's here, but she's not a human resource professional. She's a human resource, more clerical side of things. She does a great job, but I view us as really, really short, and this not even addressing all our needs. This is just addressing part of the needs for Story County in order to be able to offer the things to our employees long-term that we need to be able to offer. That even counts short complying with the law, which is something that we're doing a great job of now, but it seems to take all of our time to do it. That's what I've noticed over the last 3.5 years.
I don't need to add any more than what you've already said. There is no question that I was aware of this when Alyssa came on board. She wanted time to evaluate not only her position, but how the overall function of the office would be, and then looking at all the other different things that are coming down the pike. And there is no doubt there has been increased workloads that have been brought forth, reporting systems, and a lot of different things that she has had to redirect some of the other things that she had on her work plate to get done in order to do those immediate steps. And knowing her the way that I have gotten to know her in her capacity as human resource person, I know she would not be coming forth with this without a thorough evaluation of what things still need to be accomplished and how we can best provide that. So I really do appreciate where we are at this point in time and the diligence that have gone into evaluating the request for this journalist position.
Absolutely. And to be clear, this would be a new additional position for Story County. We'll follow the same process for this one that we did in our last conversation. Comments? Stephen, I see you at the microphone first.
I came up for a few seconds worth. I want to follow a little bit of what Wayne just intimated that, and what Alyssa said. Changes in HIPAA, and also I'm assuming the changes that are going to be coming in terms of health insurance for the county. You're going to find that you're probably going to be back here, perhaps with yet another
I don't think we're done.
No.
I honest to goodness, I mean, everybody can take this as due information. I don't think we're done yet. This, to me, is a first step.
Can I clarify just one thing?
Please do.
My request is to add this position whenever in this fiscal year. The one that you took action on last item, that's a July 1st.
So that was a July 1st. Right. This is a we would add it
as soon as possible.
Correct.
As soon as possible.
So thank you. Duly noted. Anybody else have comments for this position? Seriously? Nobody? All right. I'll turn to the board.
Move approval of the human resource journalist as outlined.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Further comments or discussion? Clinton.
Aye.
Toot.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It is approved. Thanks, Alyssa. Where are we now? Let's see. No agency reports. We got a departmental report, Community Services Department. Deb Shildroth. Hi, Deb.
Hello.
It feels like now we're back to normal.
Yes, exactly. in the interest of time, I don't want to go through every single item here on the report. You have that before you. I just want to point out in our general assistance program, our numbers this for the quarter of October 14 through December 14, those numbers held pretty steady compared to the first quarter. Same thing with the denials that were issued. There is a correction on the report for the section that's entitled apply but did not return to complete assistance process. That year-to-date total should be 53, not 36.
Okay.
Under our primary types of assistance, we saw an increase in requests for burials that we covered during that quarter. And substance abuse remains pretty steady. Our year-to-date total on that is 16 individuals that we assisted primarily with just the court commitment-related costs, the attorney that represents the individual, that kind of thing. Under asset, we have had the hearings and the panel work sessions in January. I'll be bringing those recommendations to the board in early February. We do have our asset meeting later this week where we reconcile all of those recommendations with all the panels, so that information is forthcoming. I will pass along to you from the volunteers and the other administrative team members. They were very appreciative of the increase in proposed funding from the Board of Supervisors, and I think you'll see that. I'll be highlighting some of the areas that we did put some additional funds towards when we go through those recommendations in February. The other thing that we've been involved with through ASSET is the Transportation Task Force. And that was a partnership between the City of Ames and Story County and funding a facilitator to host four meetings with agency individuals and transportation individuals to work out our public transportation system here in the county. And so a report will be forthcoming to you by the end of February. It looks like we're moving on a pretty good track with that and trying to stay with the timeline that we had initially set. We did have the public input process on Saturday, and that was attended by about 15 individuals, and we had 9 of those individuals provide input, and then we also had 4 to 5 individuals who submitted written input through the email address. So we're incorporating that within the report as well. Under mental health and disability services, I'll talk about the case management program. I'm Erin's designee for the day, and during October through December, there were 6 new clients that we added to our case management roles, and we had 41 clients that we discharged. And the majority of those clients were the clients that went to the Integrated Health Home services here in Story County. And we have completed that transition, so we are done with serving individuals with mental illness through our case management program. We do have open position. Kim Helland was our team leader in the case management program. She resigned. Her last day was last Wednesday, and we are looking to fill that position. And that is a position that's a combination of some administrative duties but client services as well. So there's a caseload tied to that position. Under Central Iowa Community Services Region, my PR effort for the quarter was being a part of the Trent Rice Show on KASI. Jeff Angelo had been sitting in for Trent back in October, and so I spent some time with Jeff talking about community services and the Central Iowa Community Services Region, so I appreciated that public opportunity. Our regional management plan was finally approved by the Department of Human Services, so we're working on setting up training. There's a list there of efforts that are underway to create and expand core services throughout the region, so you can see that list. One of the exciting things is that last bullet point there, the NAMI of Central Iowa. That's our chapter, our local chapter, and it has historically had a half-time paid director. And that individual retired back in November.
And she did a great job as a halftime. I mean, she was unbelievable.
She was awesome.
But still halftime.
Still halftime and a lot of work to do. And so the region has partnered with NAMI of Central Iowa to look at expanding that to a full-time position, hoping that would attract a larger application pool. And the region will cover more of the services than that NAMI is providing, because those are core services, the family support and the peer support. And then in return, the director will be doing some outreach efforts throughout the region So we are looking at gearing that up, and then in February. So we're really excited about that opportunity. Excuse me. Last within the report is the work that's been continued with the CLP services transition. A provider has been identified and is already in implementation of transitioning clients for supported employment services. That provider is Progress Industries. They primarily serve the Des Moines and Newton area, and now they've been bumped up to Story County to provide the supported employment services. So they're working on transitioning clients as we speak. While we didn't have any bidders for the RFP process for the other CLP services, we did some follow-up through the evaluation team of providers who had been indicating an interest of stepping in and providing those services. So through those communication efforts, by the end of December, we had two bidders who submitted proposals, and the evaluation team has wrapped up their review of those proposals and is prepared to make a recommendation to the governing board next Monday and then coming to this board next Tuesday. So
talk me through, if you don't mind, Deb, and Wayne, you may be the right guy for this, the process. So this will be, if an agreement is entered into, it will be an agreement between the provider and the region, and that's under the region's purview. But Story County's role in this is we control some infrastructure, namely a building, but more infrastructure than that, that may be of assistance as we look at moving something like this off the ground. Do we have more of a role than helping to facilitate putting together a deal between the region and the provider, or is that our entire role?
It's concurrent.
Right. Okay.
So for the services, that contract will be with the region, between the region and the provider. And we're allowing for a transition time, of course, because of the size of transition this is. But as you stated, the Story County Board has to have a role in this as well because of the facilities that are involved. And so that will be another kind of contract then that will be between Story County and the provider, and we'll need to pull legal counsel in on that to make sure that we're dotting all I's and crossing all T's as we move forward on that.
And what kind of timeline do you expect for a decision to be made
on the provider?
Yeah.
Well, we have the recommendation. So technically a decision has been made on the evaluation teams.
Okay.
Part, but then we're bringing that in as a form of a recommendation to the governing board next Monday at the regional governing board meeting, and then we will bring that forward to this board next Tuesday.
Okay, and so then would we have a role in that contract, or would it simply be the regional board has made a decision based on these proposals, this is what we're going with, and then Story County steps in and says, okay, now how do we make it happen? What can we do facility-wise? Is that where we
are?
Yes,
right.
That is correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of moving parts. And then we want to make a transition from that point until July 1st.
Right.
To be able to hand off completely. Is that where you see this thing?
Correct, yes. And in the... in the bidder's proposal, the bidder that we're recommending, they are looking at, they'll be interviewing staff. I mean, they mapped out a very, very clear plan, and they have a communication plan, for staff and for clients and for the area providers as well. And they're proposing to have the transition complete come April or May. And we know that's their proposal, and that's what they're going to try and shoot for, so that by the end of June, you know, everything is sealed up and can move forward then with the new fiscal year. So
outstanding.
It's you know, the rubber hits the road here in about a week, and the bulk of the work is yet before us. But we've reached a point that we've made that decision, and with all hopes that the governing board and you all support that decision, so we can make that announcement then, and the clients will know who's stepping in as well the staff.
Good.
Very good.
Just lastly, I want to thank the board for their work and their support on the job description that was approved just shortly ago. I look forward to the duties and the challenges, and I have to say, I just want to publicly say kudos to the Community Services Department. If there's any department that's went through as many changes as they have in the last couple years, they're used to change. Some change has been easy, some change a little more difficult, but I think with you know, with the plans that we have in place, it will be a good transition over the next 6 months, and I certainly appreciate the support that department has given as well.
Well, I think it's right to acknowledge the work that staff and community services has done. No other department that we have in Story County, with the exception of CLP, has undergone the same level of change over the last few years that we're seeing. And Deb, you and your staff have met every challenge. You've exceeded. You guys have all exceeded hopes and expectations, and the people of Story County are really, really lucky at what we have in community services, and I absolutely expect that it will continue as we move down the road. The second part, these approved job descriptions, why don't you hold off on thanks, because once we dig into this and we get going, you may want to kick me in the shin, because we've got a lot to do, and I'm excited about it.
There is a lot to do, and I think of, Wayne, your comment about Jamie Cashman from ISAC. I really enjoy working with Jamie, and I expect that to continue.
Right,
so,
right. Well, I do too. I do too.
Thanks, Deb.
Right.
Do we need action on that, Shell?
My report. No.
Yeah, oh, okay.
No, not my report.
Other reports. Update on the quarterly Story County financial report. My favorite. We get to see Lisa a lot this time of year.
Yeah, it's a joy for you guys, isn't it?
Every day.
Right. Well, almost good afternoon, but hello.
Getting close.
I provided you with the quarterly financial report. I would like to just summarize a couple of items. There are, at this point in time, two departments running over 50% of the budget right now. You've appropriated 95% of the budget, with the exception of the elected officials, which is at 100% at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Overall, however, we are at 44.4% of our expenditures, so we're running about 5% below budget right now.
Which actually works out pretty well with the way we appropriate.
Correct.
Any concerns? So the two that are running over, it's just barely over. Is it simply a timing thing, or do you see any concerns there? One of them we control, and one of them we don't control. Any concerns there?
I'd have to re-review it, but I think in the animal control situation, she's got Friends of Animals money that she can put in there if she needs to. That's probably the place where that's running the highest.
Okay.
And those are non-tax dollars, obviously.
Yep.
And I'm just keeping an eye on the treasurer's budget, hoping that it'll be okay.
We need to, because we've already appropriated 100% of the budget there, so we need to keep a close eye on that one, because if there's a problem there that we need to deal with, we need to dig in and deal with it.
Right.
But let's keep a close eye. Okay, and then on revenues?
We have seven departments that are over 50%, which is really awesome because that's the better way to be. But overall, we're only running just barely a percent under 50%. The revenues are coming in as the revenues are coming in. It is what it is.
Yeah, but as I recall, so this one concerned me a little. The 44.49% of expenses that we're running, that seems to me what we're generally running halfway through the year, which is why we got to the budgeting mechanism we got to. The 49%, it feels like the last few years, Lisa, we've been running about 52 or 53%.
We've been running ahead.
So we just need to be aware. The last couple of years, we've had more revenues than we originally projected. Now, this may be as simple as we're doing a better job budgeting. You know, we're trying to get closer to the actuals, and we may be doing a better job budgeting. But we need to be aware of this as we move on. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I would ask that as we work through this, let's really dig in hard on your next quarterly report as we get into March and April. Mm-hmm. In case we've got anything we've got to do.
Right.
We'll have time to adjust.
The, couple of big amounts there are the mental health amounts, if you notice on the revenues.
Right.
Obviously, CLP They're only at 30% of their revenues right now. That was a projection that we made when we put this budget together.
Right.
And they're running behind on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then mental health department is running lower than we anticipated at this point in time also. So those are substantial dollar amounts.
Yep.
That pull that number down.
Exactly.
The other thing I have on here is your fund balance status and where we're at for the year. And like you said earlier, Rick, about the expenditures being at 44%, that's good. That's where we like to be. I'm pretty glad we're only at 45% of the general fund expenditures.
Yep.
Because the general fund is the primary fund. Some comments that were made today about what are you going to do without $2 million that you aren't going to pay out in flex. You as a board understand, going through the budget work sessions, going through the funding streams of the county, that is not all general fund dollars. The majority of our funding for staff is from the general fund, but that certainly is not the case overall, that everybody is from the general fund. So this avenue that we're going to be taking when it comes to offering a different benefit plan is not going to just affect the general fund. It's going to affect all the funds that we deal with.
Well, and we've got to be creative, as allowed by law, with how we do some of that as well. But the second point, and it was, you know, we're so deep in the weeds on the conversation that we had first thing this morning that I started to point it out, but I decided not to. The original budget that you presented to us, that when we just collected all the departmental elected officials' requested budgets, had a general fund ending balance of 16%, I think, which is not enough.
Correct.
It just flat out is not enough, mm-hmm. And that's part of where that portion of the $2 million would help to offset some of that if you found that kind of savings. We're not going to find that, so we've got work to do, but this idea that it's as simple as the money's coming in and the money's going out, that's not the way it has ever worked, and it's not the way it will ever work.
Yeah, county government doesn't work like that.
That's exactly right.
Shocked.
Thank you. Any questions for Lisa?
No, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Liaison assignments and committee meeting updates.
I'll pass.
I just had a very short phone conversation with Deb and with Maureen at CLP yesterday, just kind of making sure that everything was moving along on track, and especially in light of the CLP's budget work session tomorrow, the transitional thing and so forth. And then I just visited with Deb a little bit about the meeting that with the transportation providers centered around HERDA and so forth, and how she felt that meeting went, and then the fact that they were meeting yesterday or Monday, I think, later on that day, to try to bring things together, and they would be meeting with the executive director from HERDA and the operations manager. So as a HERDA board, we will probably hear a little bit of finding and information based upon that task force information as we began to move forward. So that was the bulk of what I had at that time.
Super. Thank you, Wayne. Nothing from me. Public forum number two, this is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. Board may not take any action due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody? All righty. Announcements from the supervisors. Paul?
I just want to let everybody know and put this publicly on the record that I do appreciate the conversation that we had today, particularly with the representatives from the sheriff's office and their concerns about the change in the upcoming budget or flex benefits and how we're going to administer our benefits after the 1st of July. Truth be told, if it was 10 years ago, I'd have probably been sitting there asking sure. similar questions. So I do appreciate that conversation. And keeping that in mind, I'm pretty certain I've gone over my daily allotment of words. So that's it for me.
Well, I think you're right to note that. I think it's right to underscore the fact that it is completely reasonable and appropriate for our staff to be concerned and have questions. I know I'm concerned and I have questions. I have really, really appreciated most of the conversation and most of the questions when they're thoughtful and respectful. And it's disappointing when it's not always that way. But by and large, it has been. And I'm really appreciative of the way almost all of our staffs conducted themselves, not only today, but last night in the two meetings that we had. I thought they were really, really productive meetings. And I thought, for the most part, everybody showed their concern, really showed that they had questions, but were respectful and understanding that there's a process we've got to work through to get there. And then we're either going to have a good result or a bad result, and it may be viewed differently depending on the situation that each individual is in. So thank you, Paul. Wayne?
I would be remiss if I didn't comment on appreciation and thanks to the planning committee that planned the MLK celebration last night that was held at the Ames Middle School. It was an outstanding program. We had great attendance from the youth, and my wife was the keynote speaker, who just did a phenomenal job. But I think the role that YSS played and the Ames Human Relations Commission in partnership on that committee, I think it was well done. And Mel Crippen was the MC and related some of his earlier experiences and understanding, and just did a tremendous job as the MC for that event as well. So all in all, it was just an outstanding program, and I thank all that attended that program and helped to commemorate the legacy of the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Thank you, Wayne. Completely appropriate. Nothing from me. Item 15, Jessica Reynolds, civil attorney.
Well, good afternoon to the board. Under Iowa Code Section 21.5, sub 1, sub J, the Story County Attorney's Office respectfully requests that the board convene a closed session to discuss the purchase or sale of particular real estate where premature disclosure could be reasonably expected to increase the price of the governmental body.
Okay. I move we go to closed session.
And I will second it.
We have a motion and a second. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We are in closed session.
Got a few minutes.
All right. We're back in open session. Jessica, I'd ask you to get us going back on the record here in open session.
It is 12:58, and we're back in open session, and there's no action required by the board at this time.
With that, I would take a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Good day today.
Good.